You're listening to the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
I'm joined in studio by a guy who runs a company that was a recent winner of the Suburban Poll for Best Contractor in Montreal. Walter Assey from Renovco is here. Good morning, sir.
Good morning.
Yes. How would you describe the weather? In
beautiful.
One word.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
I was going to say be careful.
No, it is really probably one of the coldest days that I've ever experienced.
Yeah.
Which takes us to how is your home reacting to this?
Well, you know, you raise a good point, and I think a texter said this in a few minutes ago as well. Like, and how does it react when you go from extreme cold to +2 in a couple of days?
Well, I mean, there's many things that the house goes through. Number one, you are subjecting the wood, the framework, to extreme variation in temperature.
Mm-hmm.
So expect to hear some cracking, some movement. It's not ghosts or anything like that. The ice on the roof starts to act in funny ways, right? So you will hear these bangs when, you know, things freeze and you think something is collapsing over your head. Then, you know, in other cases, like we got a caller yesterday that he had part of his roof collapse due to the weight of the ice.
Mm.
And, you know, so when our project manager went there to see, we realized they didn't have enough trusses in their structure. So it failed. It's a perfect day to test really the limits of your house because, you know, your windows are at their limits being tested. Your plumbing is at its limits being tested. And then your structure is at its limits being tested. So, you know, if you have windows and you want to know if they're really functioning well, do not go in +2, +3. All windows will function well. Especially if you live by the water or in an air current area, airflow area, you might need to transition from a 2-pane, double pane window to a 3-pane if it fails the test of what happened yesterday.
When you refer to plumbing, you're talking about the pipes freezing?
The pipes freezing. I mean, that's, you know, that's, we've got multiple calls just about that. And here's a trick. Now, your pipe freeze, it's when the weather gets better, usually, when it's milder, mm-hmm. That's when they will burst.
Hmm.
Most people think, oh, it's frozen, I did. So be careful. That's when you really want to watch it. And do not ignore it because it makes a huge, huge problem.
Is there anything you can do proactively to avoid pipes freezing and bursting?
I mean, look, the areas in question have to be well insulated. More often than not, it's plumbing on an exterior wall that's the culprit, or an air current coming from the outside causing the pipes to freeze. So where you're going to be proactive is ensure that you really eradicate the problem. Don't just make a local insulation. You know, if you have a wall, well, take out the whole wall, make sure it's properly urethane. Preferably move the plumbing away from the exterior wall and so on and so forth. That is something that is worth an investment.
Walter, can we get to the phones?
No.
No, absolutely not. And he stormed out of the room. That's the last time we saw him. We go to Verdun, where I find Joanna. Joanna, are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And you want to talk about a window? Is it leaking?
Yeah, as soon as our dormer window upstairs in the hall, the inside is a wooden window, and we have the aluminum on the outside. So at the top of the window, where the wood is at the top, inside the two, you know, the wooden one and the aluminum one, as soon as it goes to a little above zero, water starts dripping down into the window from the top. And the dormer is, we do take the icicles off it, and it doesn't have an eaves trough up there. So I'm wondering if that's the icicles or the ice backing up and dripping down in between the window.
You have a shingle roof?
Yes.
Okay.
And it shingles above the dormer, too.
And you said it's a dormer. Okay.
Yeah,
so,
it's a dormer.
So here's the issue that we have usually with dormers. I don't know if your dormer have that issue, but usually dormers are very poorly insulated because of the pitch that is on the dormer, and there's not enough space to insulate them.
Right.
And that causes condensation, and then condensation causes that leak. So you want to check into that to make sure that that's not really the culprit before you move on to other things. Now, the other thing would be if, let's say, you have an ice backup. I mean, one way is, you said you have a gutter there or you don't have a gutter?
No, there's no gutter. We have gutters all around the house, but we don't have a gutter there.
Okay, but do you see any ice building up? Because when you don't have a gutter, you have a better chance of not having an ice buildup.
Yeah, well, we see some icicles form, but we take them off with the roof rake. We knock them off.
Okay.
But I guess there is must be ice under there somewhere. You know, I can't see it, though.
Yeah. So, but you technically will have to see it, because what happens is that your snow would melt and kind of gather at that corner and create those icicles, like you said. So you might be having ice backup. Now, in dormers, typically what you want to do is you want to have, especially that we know that the roofing pitch is not the right one, you want to put an ice shield membrane always. So make sure that that area is ice shielded, so if you have any water infiltration, it's not going to go inside.
Okay.
But because you're telling me it's coming from the window part,
the top of the window, inside between the two windows, it's coming from the very top where the wood is up there.
Okay.
Yeah, it's dripping now, down there.
Yeah. You might want to do an exploratory hole just to see exactly if it's coming from the roof or from the condensation itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that you could tell just by seeing, you know, inside the insulation, if it's actually have a condensation, you see water marks in different areas, that is a good indication. But there's not much you could do more than that, really. It's these
no
two.
Way. We're just putting towels inside between the two windows. That's all we can do, you know, and just sop up the water. And
eventually, how old is your roof?
Oh, it's around 8 years or 7 years old only.
So, I mean, there's two ways to go around this. When it's time to change the roof, or if you're doing any of the repairs of the drywall at the bottom, try to insulate it with urethane at that area, and you know, go as much as you can go with, but still allowing the air to circulate in the soffits. That will give you a much better R factor, and you have a fighting chance at least to prevent the condensation.
Well, will a roofer just do that? Well, who would do that? Like, and we'd probably have to change the window too. So,
Wait a minute. If it's leaking above the window, then the window is not the problem.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay, because it's leaking above the window. It's
into between the windows, right from the top, the wooden part of the window at the top of the window inside. Yeah. So who would do that? Like, could put an eaves trough on, and who could fix all that?
Well, you have a choice. Either you can have different contractors with their different specialties do it, but that's gonna get costly and complicated for you to manage.
No.
So you could get an insulation company and a gutter company and a roofing company and drywall company. But that is like, so you have four or five. Your best bet is to call a general contractor that can bring all these guys together in different times and synchronize the job accordingly. Because, you know, it's one thing have to happen, and then like the same day, for example, if a roofer is there and he's changing that part of the roof for you, instead of taking the drywall from the top, you get the insulation guy to be there present at the same time.
Yeah,
and then
the roofer we had wasn't very good at all. We ended up having leaking along the sides of the dormer going down. My husband had to get up there and put caulking on, and I know that's not the best thing, but the roofer didn't do a proper job, and around the chimney, we had leaking at the bottom of the chimney. He didn't even do that properly. So, I don't know. Anyway, thank you for your advice.
Yeah, no problem. When it comes to roofing, that's a whole total different issue. I mean, we can consult on what to look for and what to kind of get the roofer to do. Not every roofer does the checklist that's supposed to be done, unfortunately. So sometimes they're good roofers, they just don't go beyond the roofing and the shingles. And, you know, there's other underlying problems. But that's a completely different discussion. At this point, what I'm trying to say is, if you have a roofer and he's putting, he's changing that part of the roof to put ice shield membrane, when you take out the roof, you ask him to take out the plywood, you get your urethane guy, and now he will insulate your urethane, your attic, And then you will have a much better chance of getting a bigger R value to prevent the condensation from happening.
Okay, great. All right, thank you, Walter.
Thanks, Joanne. Good luck.
Okay, thanks, Ken. Okay, bye.
Bye now. Exactly 9:15. We're coming right back. Pat in St. Leonard. Oh, we lost Pat. Diane in the townships.
You might just need to tighten a thingamajig on the whatchamacallit. This is the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Indeed, it's Ken Connors along with Walter Assey from Inovco, 514-790-0800. Two lines just freed up, by the way. If you want to give us a call and talk to Walter, he's here till 10 o'clock, 514-790-0800. We're going to go to Diane in the townships. Hi, Diane.
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking this call, and thank you for all the information over the years. Wonderful.
Thank you.
I have a question on a follow-up on your pipes freezing. Is there a propane heater of some sort, a safe one that we can use in a crawl space in the event of a power failure to prevent exactly that pipes freezing?
That's a great question. So the portable propane heaters are not considered safe.
Okay.
They're usually used on temporary basis, and believe it or not, we use them more on the outside than the inside. So mm-hmm. when you have a guy laying brick, in the winter or in colder weather in November, December, they tarp and then they put these types of heaters because of, you know, all the fumes and everything else. So portable is a no-no. What you could do, though, is you could, this is now thinking a bit outside the box. You could buy a small propane fireplace.
Okay.
And, you know, you could go on Marketplace and buy used ones.
Okay.
And that will give you a much better, if you want, safer product to deal with versus a portable propane heater. I get it why you want it. It's because if you don't have electricity and you want to warm up the place, you want something. Now, that's one way of looking at it. Mm-hmm. Or, simple thing would be to have, unfortunately, a generator in our weather and have just a heater that in that area, electric heater hooked up to it in case we miss electricity. So these are the two things. But to have a portable propane is really a temporary thing that is done, and you're supposed to ventilate and make sure, you know, things are fresh air exactly. intake is happening and so on and so forth.
But the propane fireplace, that would be vented outside, so it would
yes.
be a permanent fixture but vented outside.
That's correct. And what I like about it, it's if you are buying a used one, since it's a crawl space, you're not going to get it for expensive.
Mm-hmm.
Most of them come with a remote, so you don't have to crawl in to turn it on and turn it off. So you could, from a distance kind of control it when it's colder weather and so on and so forth. So you have a bit more, if you wish, you have a bit more control over it. And then if you have a thermostat installed, it,
mm-hmm.
it kicks in when the thermostat give the temperature that you want it to heat at, because obviously you're not going to want to heat it every day, right? So
no, exactly.
You can set it at a certain temperature that, it kicks in when needed.
So it's called a propane fireplace.
Yeah, propane fireplace. They come in different sizes, so there's very, very small ones.
Okay.
And,
Who sells them?
You know what? In your case, because you're putting it in a crawl space and you really don't care about design and trend,
mm-hmm.
just simply go to Marketplace on Facebook or
okay.
Kijiji and,
okay.
and shop for a used one, because these things, they last for a long time.
Okay.
And most often than not, people change them not because they're broken, but because they wanted to update it to a newer model or something
okay.
like that.
All right. Okay. Well, I'll try that, because I do worry about the pipes freezing and power failure.
Thanks, Diane.
You have pipes in those?
That's it. All the water room, all the water pipes, everything is under there.
So. Right. Okay. So, regardless, what you want to do as a kind of plan B as well is ensure that the pipes are insulated.
Mm-hmm.
That's an extra layer of protection in case something fails. You don't want to have, especially that you are, you are not in town, so get that to be colder, and you probably have a bigger air current in your area. So I would definitely insulate the pipes as well.
I appreciate the information. Have a good day.
Thanks, Dan. You as well. I'm going to sneak in. We have 4 minutes for Donna. Let's see if we can get this, because the news is on the way at 9:30. Donna and Pierre Fon, you have a crack in your front room window?
Yes.
Oh.
Good morning, Ken. Good morning, Walter. Thank you for taking my call. Yeah, this morning when I got up, it was about 5:30, I guess, and I opened the blinds. I saw at the top of the window, not the very top, but kind of a little bit down, there's a crack, and it goes all the way down the center of the window. And it, ironically, I heard some kind of a noise this morning, and I thought, oh, it must be the roof, but could it have been... you know, the window cracking at that particular time. So my question is, it's a four pane, double, what do you call it? Argon gas, and it's a double window. So my question is this something that can wait until the spring, to be fixed, or, you know, what should I do moving forward?
So the, you said that the crack went from the top to the bottom?
Not the very top, just a little bit, a couple of inches down, and it kind of like curved, and then it goes straight all the way down.
Okay. So what you want to do is, number one, that crack will move.
It'll move.
If it's think of it as a windshield crack. It starts small and gets bigger. So it's a kind of, I understand, why you want to do it. You don't want to do it right away because you don't want to be replacing it in,
Well, yeah, of course.
Now, if a vitrery guy comes to your house, so glass shop guy comes to your house and they measure it, to come and change it, it tops half an hour, 1 hour job. So they cut to measure, they bring the paint. You know, so it's not a lengthy job. It's not like they have to take out the window and go to their shop and come back 2 weeks later and give you no window. So that's just to give you info. And there's a lot of nice days that happen during the winter, 5 degrees, this and that, that you, know, you could do it.
Okay, perfect.
Number two, if you really want to avoid doing that, just put a mark on the crack itself where it stopped right now. And gauge it on a daily basis to see how fast it's evolving.
Oh, that's a good idea. Yeah, okay, we'll try that. But what was I going to say? Who would I call a glass, a window company, or are there specialists that can do this?
A glass shop is a better, it's a better option for you.
Yes.
They will do it faster. Window companies can do it.
Yeah.
But the wait time is probably going to be longer.
Yeah,
of course, of course. Mm. So wait for a gauge it, and also to wait for a warmer day.
Yeah.
But it should get done sooner rather than later, correct?
It should, for many reasons. Number one, that means your gap seal now is disturbed, and your window is not as efficient for sure.
Yeah, of course.
So
yeah.
If we have another round of, you know, wild weather like that, hopefully not.
Yeah.
You know, you're going to really push it to the limit. And that's what we said at the beginning of this morning when we said everything that you have in your house is being tested to its limit.
Exactly. And it's so ironic when I was listening to you, I thought, oh my gosh, he's talking everything that's going through my mind right now, you know, with the cracking of the roof and et cetera. So, you know, when my husband got up this morning, he said, why don't you give Walter a call? And I said, yeah, I think I will. So that's very helpful. I really appreciate it. And there was something else I wanted to ask. And now, do you think that could have been, was it caused basically because of the cold weather that we've had? Or could it be because the roof has a lot of snow on it? Do you think that could have had something to do with it?
Yeah, these are both great questions, by the way.
Yeah, okay.
So you tend to...
Donna, I'm giving Walter the signal that we have to go to news. Can you hang on and he'll give you his two thoughts?
I can sure do that.
He was
Thank
giving me that
much.
Look. I didn't know if he was giving.
I was showing him the door. So get up.
Don't do that, Ken.
No. Hang on, Donna. We'll be right back.
Thank you.
All right. It's 9:30. Don's going to get us up to date.
Whether you're handy or all thumbs, you're listening to the Home Improvement Show on CJAD 800.
Walter, we have to get right back to work.
I know. We have a full switchboard.
Coffee break is over. Coffee break is over. Who do I have first? Oh, we're going back to Donna because we have to finish up with her.
That's right.
I interrupted you in mid-thought, though.
Go ahead. You gave me the dirty look.
Yeah.
Again.
Go ahead.
Yeah, so you were saying, Donna, what was your question again? I'm sorry.
I was wondering if the what would have caused the crack? Would it have been the cold weather? Could it have been maybe the snow on the roof? You know, like pressure.
Yeah. So there is a way to know that, and what you're saying could be right in these cases.
Okay.
So the exterior, is it made out of brick or siding?
It's the front is brick.
Okay. So you're gonna go outside. Uh-huh. Hopefully when it gets a bit warmer, not now.
Yeah.
And you're going to look at the top of that window.
Okay.
So you're going to see a metal plate above the window.
Okay.
Most often than not, this metal plate is ignored and not maintained and gets to rust with time.
Okay.
And that is the load-bearing structure above it that's carrying your bricks. So the weight of those bricks, when that plate rusts and deteriorates,
right,
it starts pushing down on that metal plate.
Okay.
And you will see like a curve or a banana effect. And that means now that you're stressing whatever is underneath it. It could be
okay.
a window. It could be any type of structure. Now, if that's the case, then your problem will reoccur after you repair that window, and that will have to be fixed.
So you have to get the metal plates changed.
That is correct. Now, in
mm-hmm.
other cases, I'm just going to give you another hint about that so you don't, sometimes it's in great condition, but it's not made long enough.
Yeah.
And we've seen that also, that they cut it too short, so it's not spanning further away from the window on either side, have to kind of span out. And that case also is giving you inadequate support. So that's one way of kind of eliminating if that's a problem or not.
Right, right.
The other... go ahead.
I was going to say, I think it was the cold, but I could be...
Well, I mean, technically cold is not supposed to be cracking windows, okay?
Yeah.
Maybe
you are right, Walter.
But it could also be the window, and I'm going to explain, that was my second thing, is...
Okay.
If you would have had already a leak, a gap seal, that's not, so the window was already, if you want, advanced in age and things are not,
mm-hmm.
That could also have been the culprit. It's really determining the age of your windows, the status of them, do they fog up,
they never seem to fog up or anything. Now, we've had the windows a number of years. I mean, I can't remember how long, but at least 15 years, I would say. And, of course, we've never had that problem before, but, there's always a first time, right? But so if that's the case, like I said, we have to have the metal plate. Now, would that be done by a window person or
person?
I'm sorry?
A mason.
Oh, a masonry, huh?
Okay. Yeah, because it will require removing a few bricks and then taking out the plate and then putting the bricks back.
Okay. And just one more question.
Quickly, Donna.
Sorry. When they replace the window, it'll be replaced with the same type of, with the argon gas in it and the two pane?
Yeah, but be careful. You might not need to replace the window per se.
Okay.
You could do what Ken did. He just replaced the panes.
Yeah.
The window panes.
Exactly.
And you can have them double glazed and low argon if the frame is still in good shape.
Okay.
There you go.
Wonderful. Well, you've been very, very helpful, and I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Donna.
A lovely day. Stay warm.
You too, as well.
Okay.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye now. Right to Heidi out in Dollard. Let's see what's going on with Heidi. Heidi, good morning.
Good morning. How are you doing? I hope everybody's well and the family too. I have a question. An old-fashioned method, when it gets cold like this, we were told at the lowest part, which is at the entrance of the garage, I have a full bathroom back there, we let the water drip very gently. So there is always a flow of water and the pipe doesn't freeze up. Is that still valuable?
It is still valid. That's correct. Especially in the colder areas that are problematic. You make the water drip.
Okay.
And the other good trick is you put a portable heater in that area. So you open the cabinets if the plumbing is inside the cabinet.
But I let it drip in the bathtub and I check in the morning, obviously. And so far, it has worked. I mean, we've
yes,
had
it does work.
Seldom. So I still do that. Just a gentle drip, and therefore, from the street in, it doesn't freeze.
That is correct.
Okay,
very good.
Have a good day, sir.
You too. All right. Up next is, I want to go in order here. We go to Laval and say hi to Nick. Nick, are you there? Nick? Nick, yeah. I can hear you. I can hear you in the background.
I'm sorry about
that. Come to the phone, Nick. Standing by
can
for
you
Nick.
Hear me?
Yes, now
can
we can.
Oh,
what's okay. going on? What were you doing? You're multitasking there, I think.
I was. Sorry.
All right.
Sorry about that.
You got no water on the upper floor?
Exactly. So actually, a follow-up question, I guess, to what was just asked. The
yeah.
fact is that we didn't anticipate this. So we didn't actually get the water to run slowly. But the upper floor, there's a kitchen in the upper floor. And only in the kitchen, there's no water. I tried to locate where it possibly could be frozen, but I can't seem to... to identify where I can heat it. I did put heaters under the kitchen sink, but that hasn't worked after a few hours of heating. So my question is, what do I do to avoid or try to avoid a burst tomorrow when it actually thaws out? And is there anything I can do?
Yeah. So, I mean, unfortunately, there's not much you can do to avoid a burst if the pipe, unless you find exactly where it's frozen and you put a hairdryer on it, if it's accessible, that is. What you want to do is, I mean, the easiest way to do it, I mean, because you could always call a plumber and the plumber come and they put heated wires on the pipes and so on and so forth, but that might not be needed just yet. What you want to do is, tomorrow is getting to be much warmer.
Yeah.
So tomorrow would be the day that might be problematic for you. So you really want to be on guard. Now, either you could shut off the water in this area or shut off the water in that floor if you wish to kind of do the testing, make sure that if there is a leak, you shut it off right away and you call the plumber to replace the pipe. Keep on heating. This is the slow method. It's not the, you know, a hairdryer in that area maybe for a while as well. Usually it's the exposed part or right underneath where, you know, that's going from the first floor to the second floor. So if you can get with a hairdryer in that area and also try it, keep the doors open of the cabinet.
Okay.
And, you know, it's going to take a few hours. Now, tomorrow is going to help a lot because you're not going to have that draft. Problem when you have that cold is you have that continuous air draft that comes in. It's a weak area in your insulation. So you're kind of, until the weather gets better, you're kind of fighting a losing battle because the current from the outside is so strong and it's so cold that it keeps those pipes freezing. Tomorrow is going to be, if it's going to burst, tomorrow is going to be usually the day that bursts because, you know, it's unfreezing, the pipes expand and bang, that's when it happens. But it doesn't necessarily have to happen. It could happen. Now, just be on guard and just shut off the water to limit the damage and then you call a plumber and then if the plumber have to break stuff, make sure to re-insulate correctly or even better, move the plumbing further down towards the inside. When you do the insulation for the pipes, that's another trick that is important. We say insulate the pipe. Insulate the pipe to the exterior area, but keep it open to the interior area. And most people, what they do is they wrap the whole pipe. That's a mistake. Because what you want is you want the warm air from the internal part to touch the pipe, to get to the pipe and keep it warm. You just want to sleeve it from the area where you're going to get the old current, the cold current. And that will be, if for now you could do it yourself, really, you don't have to call a plumber for that and test that because sometimes just doing that works.
Yeah, the only issue is that I don't see where the pipe is for me to actually expose to it. I do believe it's from the garage, so I tried to look to see if there's any area that I could have access to the pipes because I can't see the pipes.
Yeah, so sometimes, unfortunately, that will require you opening a ceiling downstairs to have access to it and what have you. But it's easier to do it on your terms rather than the flood doing it for you.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So are you recommending that I shut off the water? Because I can't seem to locate where I can shut off the water just going upstairs. I have to shut off the water for the house as a whole.
Well, I mean, look, tomorrow, like I said, tomorrow is a day where usually, usually most of the pipe bursting happens. Now you have the pipe freeze, and then this is what happens. People call us for freezing pipes, and then the second wave of calls is for bursting pipes.
Exactly.
But if you are now heating, you know, keep on doing what you're doing. Try to get a blow dryer. Go in different areas. Try to, you know, and then at least you know if you have water on the first floor, at least you know where the stretch of pipe that is frozen is, anywhere from the top of the first floor to the upstairs. That's the stretch you want to focus on.
Nick, we got to run.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you for your help.
I appreciate the call. Thank you so much. 9:47. We'll get out there on the roads on this bright, sunny, but cold day. Jill Fitzgerald is watching things. Jill, when I came in this morning, there was absolutely no one with me on the DeCary Expressway or the Ville Marie. I had the place to myself. Yeah.
This is the Home Improvement Show on News Talk Radio, CJAD 800.
9:51. Ken Connors alongside Walter Assey from Renovco. Walter, we got to go to Joe and RDP. Joe, hi. Joe?
Morning. Yeah, good morning.
Morning.
How are you?
Oh, we're good. You're coming in loud and clear now. A roof condensation issue?
Yes, between, well, I have a semi-detached cottage built in 1986. And between me and my neighbor, he's a bit worse than mine. But, yeah, it creates icicles, and we're trying to figure it out. And we were wondering if I was wondering if you had a referral for, like, because the roof, it's, I look at it like maybe there's three systems. It's a system between the insulation, the ventilation, and the roof itself. So I was wondering if you had a consultant maybe to come and take a look and make us a plan of attack.
Okay. I mean, Joe, to begin with, the consultant should begin by you.
Okay.
it's because sometimes the issue literally can jump in your face, and you don't need to pay for a consultant.
Self-diagnose.
Self-diagnose.
Yeah.
If your attic is accessible and you're capable of doing a tour in your attic, because, you know, if it's too dangerous or too risky for you, then that's another story. The reason being is a lot of it is visual. But why the importance of not having roof condensation is essential would be because roof condensation would create you mold in your attic. And when you have mold in your attic, it's usually generalized, so getting rid of that mold becomes very pricey. So it's something that you need to be proactive on. What you're going to do is you're going to go in the attic, and the first thing you're going to do is you're going to have a 360 turn and look at the perimeters and see that, ensure that you're seeing daylight, continuous daylight, where the soffits are, where the intake for the soffits are. Now, if you don't, then that is signaling an issue right there. The second thing would be, when was the last time I checked my insulation in the attic and what type of insulation I have right now and what's the thickness of it?
Yes.
Okay. Now, not only what's the thickness, but how well it's spread out. Are there any gaps? Is it really packed right? Is there any areas where I have pot lights that are emanating heat? And so on and so forth. Now, you need... It used to be in 86 R40, now it's R50. So chances are you still have the R40. But in some cases, we've seen R22. An R22 in the roof and the attic is in no way sufficient. So that for sure. So in this case, it's an easier fix. You get someone to blow in some insulation on top of the existing one, so you don't take it out and it's going to cost you a fortune of taking it out and then reinsulating. So adding to it is fine. Make sure that whoever does that, make sure that the stereo vents are in order. And if you don't have any blocked soffits, you don't have any issue.
Okay, then that's the thing is that you did hit on two subjects that they're both problematic. So the soffits we don't have. So we look around and we see very little light. So we have no intake.
The
house was built without soffits.
Okay. That is, okay, so there is plan B for that.
Okay.
it's weird that they have b- build it with no soffits, but yes, there is a solution. The other solution would be to create side intakes. So you should have like some grills on either side.
We have one each. We have one on one side. I have one on one side, on the side of the house, yep, and I have one in the front. But the way his house is just slightly different than mine, and it doesn't have it in the front because of the way that the window is made on the second floor. He doesn't have one, so he has only a side. So I think that's why he's a bit worse off than me. He's got less intake than me.
Well, he have no intake because if you don't have two that the air plays around...
We both have maxes on the top, right?
Yeah, but the maxes only work if you have a proper intake. In his case, he have one. Yeah. That's nowhere near enough to get the proper intake. Usually want to have them facing each other. That's the best case. So they can just, you know, circulate the air around. It's not the best type of, you know, ventilation intake, but it does the job. Given what you have as an issue, you might need to make a bigger grill, and instead of having a maxi vent, you might end up installing a ridge vent.
Ridge vent?
Yeah. So what that and again, in cases like this, it helps because it's a vent that takes over the whole peak of the roof. So it's like a grill that we put on the top.
Oh, I think I've seen that. Okay.
Yeah. And that improves, if you wish, because it's not central like a maxi. It's more generalized. So that helps in cases of chronic roof issues and bad designs and what have you.
And that's at the peak of the roof. You would.
That's right. Right at the top, right at the top of the hat.
Yeah.
You put it and it's continuous. So it's called the ridge vent. And that's
ridge
usually...
Ridge vent is R-I-C-H vent.
R-I-D-G...
Oh, ridge. Ridge. Okay, ridge. Yeah, ridge vent. Joe, we're up against the clock. I hope that was some help for you today.
It's half my answer. Is there any way I could contact you, Walter, directly or...
Yeah, you can always reach me at the office.
Oh, okay, at...
Renovco.
Renovco. Yeah. Okay, thank you. All right. I'll be calling.
All right. Thanks, Joe.
Good luck, Joe. Walter, thank you.
My pleasure. Sorry if we couldn't get to everybody today. It was a busy day, I guess.
We have a return engagement. We booked him for next Saturday morning at 9 o'clock. Thank you, sir. Don't go anywhere. Lisa's standing by with more of your phone calls and car questions on The Car Show. That's next here on CJAD 800.